Okay, Bezat Hashem, B'siyata Dishmaya, we're going to get started learning in my favorite parasha of the whole entire Torah, Parashat Vayigash, one of the most beautiful parashas that we have, filled with so many lessons and the most amazing story and plot. Easily, if there was a budget out there, any filmmakers wanted to put together one of the best shows or movies, it would be for sure based off of this parasha. It's jam-packed. Bezat Hashem, let's get into the summary, the weekly summary. And if we're able to, hopefully, maybe tonight, sometime this week, we'll be able to do a deep dive into the Midrash of this parasha, which is out of this world. Maybe we'll do it live tonight. No promises. Bezat Hashem, let's get into it. We have a really amazing parasha, and there's a lot to cover. So let's get started. Bezat Hashem, Parashat Vayigash. We left off last week, obviously, with the meeting between the brothers and Yosef pushing the brothers into this point where they have to do tshuva. And this week we continue, and we continue with Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Vayomer bi Adoni yedaber na avdecha davar ba'ozne Adoni ve'alichar apecha ba'avdecha ki chamocha chefaro. Yehuda approaches Yosef. The Zohar says this is the meeting of two kings. And Yehuda wants to go up and talk to Yosef now. And he's asking, please, I want to talk to you. I want to speak really with you. I want to speak to you in your ears. I don't want to use a tokerman. I don't want to use a translator. I don't like this mediator between us. I want to speak to you. I want to speak to you eye to eye. I'm important. You're important. I see you like Pharaoh. I'm respecting you. I'm honoring you. But I have words to say to you. And now Yehuda is about to put his foot down. He's going to fight for Binyamin. He's trying to do it in the most diplomatic and polite way while still being firm with this ruler that's in front of him. And he tells him that last week's parasha, he said, right, that we're going to take only Binyamin for a slave. Whoever had the Gaviah. And Yehuda wants to make it known now to Yosef that if you do that, you're going to have a ton of problems. You're going to have a lot of problems. And please let me explain myself to you and let you know what kind of problems you're going to get into. And I'm going to do it in the most respectful way. And I respect you like you're a king, like you're Paro, like you're a king, but I need to talk to you. And Yehuda says to him, my master, you asked me if we have a brother or a father. And we didn't understand what was the meaning of the question. We thought we were coming to get married. And even though that was the case, we didn't hide from you anything. And we told you that we do have a father. He's old. And we have a younger brother. And his brother is dead. Yehuda had to lie to Yosef. He had a fear that he would tell him, you know, maybe you're going to ask him to bring him as well. So I said he was dead. I said outright that he was dead. We said to you that our father loves Binyamin more than all of us. He loves our youngest brothers more than all of us. Because he's the only one that's left from his wife, Rachel, that he loved her very much. And you told us to bring Binyamin down here so that you'll be able to see him. And that our father had nothing to worry about. These were all your words, Yosef. And we said to you, my master, our father and Binyamin are so connected that they're able to die if they miss each other. They're able to. My father would lose his life if he lost Binyamin. And even though that was the case, you forced us and you told us you have to bring down Binyamin. And we came back to our father. We told our father everything that happened. Our father said not to send him. And just the only reason we came back with him now is because the food ran out. And our father said we have to come back and get food. We told him we can't come back without Binyamin. Because that's what you commanded us to say. And he said, Yaakov Avinu, our father, said back to us, you already know that I only had two children from my wife, Rachel. One already left me. And the other one, I'm not going to see him anymore. It can't be. I'm going to take the second son? It can be. What happens if there's a tragedy that happens to him? You see, the Torah is repeating all of this over and over again. There's many, many secrets. We already heard this whole entire story in the last week. Now Yehuda also, he's telling him, to Yosef, the whole entire story. And he's saying, what happened with Yaakov? And he's mentioning it all. And you're going to cause a lot of pain to Yaakov at an old age. Shalom Aleichem. Ki ke'et she-Binyamin etzli, ani mitnachem bo. Alimo v'alachiv. Now that Binyamin's here, I'm getting consolement over him and his brother. Vim yamut dome alai shalachtem met shloshtam metu biyom echad. And if right now he would die, it would be as if all three of them died in one day. So now how can I go back to my father without Binyamin? They're connected soul to soul. They're connected intensely. So that was our first parasha, introduction getting into it. There's a lot going on here. There's so much. The brothers, why didn't they get involved? Two kings are going back and forth. Who are we to get involved? There's also a lesson that we can learn from it. When you see two masters going at it, sometimes you have to know your place and not get involved. So much going on here. And you see the dedication of Yehuda. If you're able to read the Midrash, if you have the Midrash, go into it and see how really Yehuda is feeling this whole entire time. Zat Hashem, just to say it in short, but they say there that Yehuda is essentially getting ready to kill Yosef. He thought that he wanted to take him for a sex slave, and he's not going to give up, and he's about to destroy all of Mitzrayim. He sent the brothers to go check how many shuks there are, how many markets there are, how many of them started to make a whole entire separation. Who's going to go after which parts of Egypt to destroy them? And Yosef is also not taking it. Him and Menashe are teasing them back. There's a whole entire battle going on here, and the Torah is telling us over in emotions and in words. We have to know too, inside of us as well, this is also meanings and unifications between what we know to be true up above and what we're experiencing down here. Sometimes there's a clash between that, what I see to be true in this world and what I fight for, and the revelations that are needed and the promises that I've made versus the power of Hashem that's above everything, that's not limited in any way. In the second Aliyah, Yehuda continues to explain to Yosef, and he says, could it be that we're going to come back to my father without Binyamin? It can't be, he's going to pass away. And then we cause our father to get to the lowest places possible in the world to come. And he continues and says, and if you say, why is it specifically that I'm speaking, and why am I raising my voice? Why am I speaking in such a way? Right, there was in the Midrash it says that Yosef was saying to him, you speak more than all of your brothers. What's going on here? Why are you talking so much? He said, yeah, I am a guarantor over him. I'm speaking more than everybody else because I'm the one that committed to bring him back to my father. And if not, then I'm going to lose my portion in this world and in the world to come. So therefore, I want to be the slave instead of Binyamin. And it would be better for you too as well. I am stronger. I'm more successful. I would be a better slave for you anyway. Let Binyamin go. Then I won't be excommunicated or pushed off from this world or the world to come. My father will still have respect for me. I'm the guarantor for Binyamin. But how could I go back to my father without this kid? I can't do that. I can't go back to him. And even though my father is going to have a lot of pain, but it's better for me, so that I will be able to know that my father is not in the pain of losing Binyamin, losing Rachel, losing Yosef, all three of them. So I'm going to go instead. And now, at this point, Yosef finally sees that Yehuda is fully in. Fully in. He's fully doing tshuva. He's fighting for one of the sons of Rachel. And this is the proof that he's completely coming back. And Yosef can't take it anymore. He wants to cry. There's so many people in the room. He's not able. So he says, "Otziu kol ish me'alai." The Torah tells us outright that's the words that he said. "V'lo yachol Yosef litapek lechol anitzavim alav." There's too many people in the room. He couldn't take it. "V'yikra otziu kol ish me'alai." For many years ago, this came to me. "Otziu kol ish me'alai Ishmaeli." Take out all the Ishmaelim. We can't take it anymore. Take out the Ishmaelim. Take them out from our land, take them out of the room, we're not able to take it anymore. Bezat Hashem, may Hashem hear that as well. Velo Amad, he asked for everybody to get out of the room. He didn't want anybody to be there so he can be able to cry and let it out. He didn't want to embarrass his brothers either. He didn't want to embarrass them and for all the Egyptians to know that these are the people that sold Yosef. These are the bad brothers. These are the ones that caused all of this. And once there was no one foreign in the room at all, just the brothers and Yosef, he reveals himself. And he raises his voice out in a cry. And all of the people in the house of Paro heard this cry. And he says, Ani Yosef. Ani Yosef. Aod Avi Chai. Is my father still alive? He wasn't able to take it anymore. He had to reveal himself. And you're saying that you can't go back because your father will die if you don't have your younger brother. But how is he alive with me? Did you say the same words when you sold me? And their fear got so intense, and they were so scared that they all were blown back. They literally took steps back. They were frozen, and they weren't able to answer Yosef. They weren't able to face the reality that they were in right now. That yes, this brother that they sold so many years ago and they've been lying about all this time is now the king of essentially the whole entire world, and he has complete power over them right now. They're so embarrassed. And the rabbis teach us also from this. It's a segula every single time we pray the Amidah, that a person should say a pasuk, that the pasuk starts with the first letter of their name and ends in the last letter of their name. A lot of sidurim, if you look at the back of the sidur, you'll see a list of the whole alphabet, the alphabet with different pasukim that start with aleph, end with hey, and so on and so forth. It's very good to say this every day, at least once a day, and if you can, when you finish the Amidah. Why? Because on the Day of Judgment, when we get asked, we get revealed, Ani Yosef, who am I? We see who we are, our name is called. On Judgment Day, will we be able to answer? Will we have the words to answer? The brothers didn't have it. So from here, the rabbis tell us, so too on Judgment Day. Oy mi yom adim. On Judgment Day, they're going to ask us questions and we're not going to have the answers. One of them is, what's your name? For that even, we're not going to be able to answer. What's your name? So we want to be able to remember it. Yosef sees that the brothers are retreating backwards, and he says to them, please, come close, approach now. He says to them, Ani Yosef achichem shemachatim oti l'mitzrayim. I am Yosef, your brother, that you sold me to Egypt. And that's how he gave them a true sign that he was Yosef. Because no one really knew about the fact that they sold and they were bought. And none of them knew that they were actually, anybody that was involved in that deal, they didn't know that they were actually brothers. They just, here's this kid and he's getting sold. And now, don't get sad, don't get upset, don't get angry that you sent me here to Egypt, that you sold me down here. It was Hashem. This is what's called Hashem Ikdim Trufa L'Makah. Hashem, in the unfolding progression of the world and all the events that need to take place in the world, we have a rule that Hashem always prepares and creates the cure before the plague or before the hit. The remedy is already there before the problem arises. So too, there was going to be a famine, and there was going to be a very hard times in the land of Israel, and there won't be food there at all. So it had to be that the brothers would sell Yosef. Yosef ends up in Egypt, very smart kid, beautiful kid, with Hashem with him, becomes successful, and now he'll be able to provide sustenance for the family of Yaakov. So he's telling them, L'michiyah shelachani, Hashem sent me here l'michiyah, for us to all be able to live, so that I would be able to provide. The rabbis teach us, l'michiyah is the letter is mechila, it's forgiveness. It's all forgiveness. Everything that was done is all forgiven. There's a higher mission here, there's a higher plan here. As long as you don't get upset and you don't get angry and you don't get sad like he's telling them, then you're able to see. You're able to see the bigger picture, you're able to see how Hashem was involved in that thing. A lot of times, though, it's our own sadness and our own interpretation of the story that prevents us from seeing the salvation of Hashem. The fact that Yosef was sold and all the bad things that happened was exactly divine providence to set up all of the redemption and all of the good things that need to come. Yosef continues and he says, 2 years has passed since the famine has started, and there's 5 more hard years in the famine, and there won't be any plowing of the fields, there won't be any harvesting. So Hashem sent me here in front of you to make sure that I'll be able to prepare food, that you'll have food to be able to exist. And that's a big saving, that's a big miracle that's happening in the world. So don't take it personally and don't get upset. There's a divine process unfolding here. It's the second Aliyah. Third Aliyah, Yosef continues and says to his brothers, "Now that I see that everything that Hashem caused to happen, I understand that it wasn't you guys that sent me down here. It wasn't even you. It was all the will of Hashem. And here Hashem put me, right, to become the advisor of Paro. And then I got put in charge of the whole entire house of the king. And now I'm ruling all over Egypt, the whole entire most powerful nation in the whole entire world. And now Yosef asks that they should go back to their father and should tell him how honorable it is that his son, Yosef, is not only alive, he's the king of the whole entire world. He's essentially the most powerful person in the whole entire world. And please bring him to back here to Egypt, bring Yaakov as well, without any delays. And say that I'm pleased asking that he should come live here in the land of Goshen, that is far from the main places of Mitzrayim, far from the cities and the capital cities. And I'm asking that my father Yaakov will come live here, him, all of the tribes and their children. They bring their flock, they bring their livestock. It was known that in Egypt, to be a shepherd was looked down upon. They prayed to sheep. So the Jews, their natural work is shepherding and agriculture. So setting up the Jews in a place in Goshen, a different state within Egypt that wasn't part of mainland Egypt with all of the Egyptian mentality, was a way to keep the Jews Jews and the non-Jews non-Jews. And this is known that throughout our history, we have a rule, we have a principle as Jews. When we do Kiddush, the Goyim do Avdalah. And when we do Avdalah, the Goyim do Kiddush. What is that? That's the secret of when we live in this world and we sanctify and we amplify and we give importance to the ways and the beliefs and the traditions and the habits of the non-Jews, and we try to live like them and be like them, meaning we make Kiddush, we sanctify their way of life, so then the Goyim do Havdalah, they make separations, they make differentiations. But when we make Avdalah, meaning we live in Goshen, we live in our own neighborhoods, we live in our way of life, respecting everyone around us, but we want to be separate, we want to be in our schools, we want to have our community centers, we want to have our synagogues, our supermarkets, everyone's welcome, but we want it to be according to our tradition that is so old, 3,000 plus years of a strong tradition. When we do that, then the Goy looks at us and says, Kiddush. Sanctified. This is a Jew, this is a person with a backbone that has a Torah, that has a connection to God. They're not bending in society and changing their mind every few years, every election cycle. No, this is a people that have a backbone. So it's important for us to know as well. And not only that, the Goshna, to go into Goshen, that is also on the letters of the Sevivon, of the dreidel. Nes Gadol Ayah Sham. And it's also Gematria, Mashiach. It's big ideas in this land of Goshen. So basically now Yosef is asking for Yaakov to come down, and he's telling him that he's going to provide for him. There's 5 more years of famine, and if he comes close, I'll make sure that he's taken care of. He won't lose anything, he'll keep all of his wealth while people are having to sell everything just to make money to be able to buy food and bread. I'm going to make sure that my father will keep all of his possessions. They'll increase, he'll be in a land where nothing will be touched, and I'll be sending him food. And he wants to show his brothers that he's not angry at them at all. And he says to them, look, you're all seeing, you and Binyamin are all seeing this honor that I'm receiving in Egypt. And he, so to say, put Binyamin and the brothers together. And meaning to say, just like I have nothing against Binyamin, I have nothing against you guys. It's okay. I have no anger. Since the time of this, when you sold me away, like Binyamin wasn't there, I have no beef with him. I also have no beef with you guys. and I'm speaking to you right now myself. I'm not even using the translator. I'm speaking to you directly. And tell my father, tell Yaakov all of this. Tell him about my stature. Tell him the levels that I've reached in Mitzrayim. And please ask him so he can come very, very, very quickly to come see me. He's going to be happy to see me. And then Yosef comes and he falls on the neck of Binyamin. They fall on each other's necks and they start to cry. Yosef saw two of the temples that were being built in Binyamin's portion and that they would be destroyed. And Binyamin could see Shiloh, the Mishkan, in Yosef's portion. And Yosef was crying at these two temples that are going to be destroyed. And afterwards, Yosef kisses all of his brothers and he cries with them as well. And the rabbis teach us that he cried on the fact that they're going to be, essentially the brothers represent all of the nation of Israel, that we're going to go into a time we're going to be dispersed amongst the nations and we're going to be ruled over by other nations. And after the brothers see that he's crying from all of his heart and that he's complete with them, so then they started to speak to him. And before that, they were all embarrassed. They didn't know what to say. They didn't even have the words. But now that they saw that he's really, really, really whole with them, he wants to be a brother. He's not coming for them. He's not trying to kill them or anything. Now they really sat down and they were able to really open up and to start talking. And this rumor that the brothers of Yosef have arrived started to spread all around the house of Paro. And all of his servants were very, very happy that they would come live now in Egypt. Because Paro thought in his heart, now that Yosef has his family in the land, he's not going to lead the land like he's some foreigner ruling over the place. His own family is going to be here, so now he's going to do it with even more responsibility. He's going to be even a better leader. And Paro says to Yosef, that his whole entire plan of sending the brothers back to Yaakov to bring him is the right plan, that they should send him and to bring Yaakov in to give him produce, to give him all the needs he needs to be able to sustain himself in Goshen and bring everything that he needs, bring all of his property, mamash, like a full aliyah, bringing the whole entire house of Yaakov to rest here in the land of Goshen. And he tells Yosef to make sure to tell the brothers that it's all in his permission, with his authority, that Paro is the one backing this. And to take not only that, please take aglo, take wagons and abundance and shefa and chariots from the land of Egypt. Take him with you all the way to, like, essentially he's sending the royal wagons and the royal convoy to prove the point and to show Yaakov this is no joke. Paro himself is behind this. Yosef is the king. Here's the official Egyptian wagons to come take you, and they don't want you to take any time. They don't want you to lose out in any way. They want you to hurry up and to come. They listen, the brothers listen to Paro and to Yosef, and he sends them off with enough rations also to make it for the journey. And the Yosef now gives each brother a suit, a khalifa, a dress. And to Binyamin, he gives him 300 silver coins and 5 brand new jackets. Not just one, 5 of them. And for the father, for Yaakov, he gave him, like he gave Binyamin, and also 10 donkeys filled with all of the treasures that you could find, and all the best things you can find in Egypt, loaded on their backs. And also 10 female donkeys with grain and everything you could imagine to eat. Yosef sends the brothers, they should go back to the father and ask them, please, on the path, don't talk about the fact that you sold me. This is a big revelation. A big thing just went down. A lot of drama just came up. Very embarrassing, I understand. from Egypt back to Beersheba, do not talk about me. Don't talk about what happened 22 years ago. He doesn't want them to speak about it at all. Why? He doesn't want them to start fighting. Told you not to sell him. You should have done this. He doesn't. They're going to get back to Yaakov. All the joy of finding Yosef will be ruined. Yaakov's going to see his brothers. They might even hurt each other. They might fight. God forbid. You don't know what it's going to be. So Yosef tells them, guys, we've made peace. I never had a grudge on you. It's all okay. You've done tshuva. Don't talk about it. Go get Yaakov. Come back. Don't waste time. And obviously this is when we had a famous story of one of the people that lived the longest lives ever and went up to Gan Eden in their life without sin, and that's Serach bat Asher. Was the daughter of Asher, and she heard about all of this and she went ahead playing music, saying, Od Yosef Chai, making a little song. She made a little song and sang it in front of her Saba, in front of Yaakov. And that softened her heart. Like, what nonsense are you saying? No one's heard of Yosef in 22 years. And she's singing this song. No, no, Yosef's alive, Yosef's alive, Yosef's alive. And he started to feel a little bit better. And that softened him up. By the time the brothers arrived with all of this procession from Egypt, he already heard this girl, his granddaughter, singing it, and for that she merited to live from then. She was one of the daughters of Asher, meaning she's a granddaughter of Yaakov. All the way back in Yeshua's time, they came into the land of Israel and everything. Serach bat Asher. Immense, immense power to be able to break the news in a good way. Even good news needs to be told over sensitively. If you have a person that's old and their heart is weak, you can't just come make a big hoo-ha and explosion and drop a bombshell like that of the person you've been mourning for 22 years is still alive. The joy of hearing that could kill a person. So this is how this little girl, this cute little girl, a granddaughter, came just playing some music and singing, Yosef's still alive, Yosef's still alive. Yaakov looked at it like, what nonsense are you saying? Come here, everybody knows Yosef's not. Like, but it softened the heart a little bit that when the brother showed up, it wasn't such a shock. She already said it. Now they come and they tell Yaakov, and not only is he alive, he's the ruler of the whole entire world. He's in charge of all of Egypt. And when Yaakov hears this, he did faint and he did pass out. He couldn't believe them. And the brothers told Yaakov everything, and he told them the words of Yosef, and he told them that not only that, he said that, you know, my father won't believe that I'm alive. So tell him that I remember the last thing that we learned together. The last halacha that we learned together was Eglah Arufa. Eglah Arufa. And what is the sign? Eglah Arufa, I'll explain in a second. And what is the sign? That right now there's Eglot, that I'm sending also Eglot. So what is it? Eglah Arufa is an interesting mitzvah that we have in the Torah. That let's say right now you have, outside of the city limits in a field, find a dead body. And no one knows who killed it. No one knows where it's from. No one knows what happened. So then the elders of the city go out into that field and they take an egel, they take a calf, they behead the calf, and so to say, that's the atonement and the atonement for this suspicious murder. So now, interesting enough, what's the last halacha that Yaakov and Yosef learned together? If someone's found dead and no one knows what happens, it's exactly Yosef's story. He went missing and no one knows what happened. So, Eglah Arufa, tell our father, I remember the last halacha that we learned. Not only that, I'm the king, I'm telling you, I'm Yosef, here's the proof, this is the last thing we learned together, and here's the sign of it, I'm sending aglot, I'm sending these calves, I'm sending this chariots of goods. When Yaakov hears this and sees this, his ruach came back. He got back up from passing out, from losing consciousness. He got back his Ruach HaKodesh that was hidden from him since the time Yosef was sold. Over 20 years, he's been without the Shekhinah on him, he's been without Ruach HaKodesh. And now it's all coming back. Fourth Aliyah, Yaakov says thank you to Hashem on all of the miracles that he's done with him. from saving him from his brother Esav, Lavan, his father-in-law, the fact that Yosef is still alive, and now that he's also going to be able to see Yaakov before he dies, Yaakov will be able to see Yosef before he dies. And Yaakov takes all of his family, all of his livestock, all of his possessions, and he starts to go down to Egypt. When they get to Beersheba, he does a korban there and he prays to Hashem in the zchut of Yitzchak, his father. And why didn't he mention Avraham? Why didn't he mention Avraham? He only mentioned Yitzchak. Because a person has to honor their father more than they have to honor their grandfather. So in his mind, he was on his father. Hashem reveals himself there to Yaakov in a prophecy at night. And he calls Yaakov in an endearing word, right? Chiba. Yaakov, Yaakov, right? Double times. Yaakov, Yaakov. It also says, V'yomer Elohim le'Israel. To Israel. It's the first time he's called Israel since Yosef is sold, showing that Ruach HaKodesh has come back. And he tells him, Anochi ha'el Elohe avicha al tira merida mitzrayim ki legoy gadol esimcha sham. I am the father of I'm the God of your father. Don't be scared of going down to Egypt. I'm going to make you into a great nation when you get there. I'm going to go down. The words Anochi ired imcha mitzrayim v'anochi alcha gam alo. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I'm also going to send you out of there. Meaning, the Shekhinah is going to go down with you, and the Shekhinah is going to come out with you. In all the hard places we go through in our life, this was the message. Now Yaakov, the father of all of Am Yisrael, has to take the house of Israel and to go into Egypt. It's to go into exile. There's no food in the land of Israel. It's unbearable. You can't live in that place. You have to go down into dark places. Don't be afraid. Shekhinah is going with you. Shekhinah is also going to elevate you out of that place. It's extremely important to know. Hashem is with us no matter where we go. And he promises him also that you're going to get brought back and you're going to be buried in the land of Israel. You're not going to be buried there. It's a promise. So too, Yosef made this promise as well, that after he passes away, he's going to make sure that he comes back and is buried in Hebron with Avram, Sarah, Yitzchak, Rivka, and Leah. And they leave from Beersheba. All the families, they go, which is now called Bnei Israel. They take their father and they take all of the abundance and Shefa that Pharaoh sent as well. And they also took all of everything they had, all the people that they converted, all of the livestock that they had, all of their tents, everything that they had here in the land of Israel went together down into Egypt. And they all got together there, 70 people, father, wives, children, grandchildren, all the seed of Yaakov. Fifth Aliyah, the Torah starts to tell us all of the names of the children of Israel that went down to Mitzrayim. And it mentions the children of Yaakov from Leah. There are Reuven and his children, Shimon and his children, Levi and his children, Yehuda and his children, Issachar and his children, Zvulun and his children, Dinah, their sister. And that's, as a whole, 33 people from the house of Leah. And the children of Yaakov, from Zilpah, which was the maidservant of Leah, they're Gad and his children, Asher and his children, and they, as a whole, are 16 people. Then you have Yaakov and Rachel, which is Akeret Abayit, right? She was the main wife, the main aspect of the wife of the house of Yaakov, which is Yosef and his children, and Binyamin and his children. In total, that is 14 people. And the names of Yaakov and Bilhah's children, which was the maidservant of Rachel, is Dan, the Naphtali, and obviously their children's, which in total were 17 people. So at this point, our family was 70 people. Yaakov and his house, what is that? 70 souls of Israel. 70 nations in the world. and one nation that has 70 souls. It's like a few years ago when the Hamas, Yimach Shemam, we should never have done this deal, but it happened. And it was a proof to the world. 1,027 Palestinians for one Jew. The numbers are not proportional. They don't add up. They can't be compared. Same thing here. 70 nations in the world, one nation with 70 people. Outweighing them. Sixth Aliyah, Yaakov sends Yehuda. Go ahead.
Does that have anything to do with the seven nations that are in Israel?
Of course. Of course.
Some 70.
Of course. The idea of completion. Also idea of our midot, right? Okay. 70 nations of the world, the seven midot, Chesed, Vorat, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut, each of them made up of 10 sefirot, right? So there's a lot of times in Hasidic books, when they're talking about the nations, really it's talking about in Avodat Hashem, it's talking about your love, your awe, your respect, your tzvikut, your every aspect of your traits, and elevating them. So in the sixth Aliyah, Yaakov sends Yehuda ahead to Yosef to prepare Goshen. And this is the secret of preparing, bringing the Torah before anything else. When a person moves houses, the first thing they should put into their new house is their Torah books. The first possession you put inside your house, make it a holy thing. So to hear Yaakov now is moving down into Egypt, what's the first most important thing to set up? Yeshiva, cheder, mikveh, beit midrash. So Yehuda goes ahead to meet with Yosef in order to prepare all of that in Goshen. And Yosef himself goes to help, not any servants. He himself went to go prepare his horse to ride, to go meet his father in the land of Goshen. And when Yosef meets his father, he fell on his neck a few times and he cried and cried and cried. And Yaakov says to Yosef, I could die right now. After seeing your face, that's it. Enough to see that you're alive, that would be enough for me. I could go up to the world and I'd be happy. How much joy a father must have to see their child after years. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine even being... My daughter just started at school and I'm even during the day I'm thinking about it. She's not... me and my wife are not watching her. That's already a crazy thing. To not know where your choicest child is, your favorite child for 22 years, knowing what kind of world it is, to finally see him. It's like Hashem as well. Hashem's just waiting for each one of us to come back, to connect. Imagine the joy and the smile on Hashem's face when we turn and we want to come. And we're excited to see him. We're excited to talk to Hashem. Yosef says to his brothers and to his father that he wants to go to Pharaoh's house in order to tell him that his brother and his father have came from the land of Canaan. And he's also going to tell them that they are shepherds and that they brought their own flock with them. Again, like we said before, the Egyptians used to pray to sheep. So now you have Jews that work sheep and tell the sheep what to do. It's a crazy thing for them to tolerate. Yosef asks from his brothers that if Pharaoh calls you and asks you guys what is your job, then I want you guys to tell him that from a young age, we've been shepherds. From a young age, we deal with livestock. Us, our forefathers, right? This is our trade, this is what we do. Also for us, we need to know this. You move to another land, what are you? What do you do? I'm a Jew. What's your thing? I serve Hashem. I'm here to spread light. I could work in this job, that job, that's great. But what are you? I'm a Jew. Right? This is what my forefathers did. This is what I do. This is what I'm going to teach my children to do. To talk about Hashem and to spread Hashem. So he wants him to tell Paro, what is your job? This is what I do. I'm a shepherd. We herd emunah. We're flocking emunah all the time. Because the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, they hated shepherds. And then by nature, if you tell the king of all of Egypt, hey, yeah, listen, we're shepherds. We're with the sheep all day long. We work with sheep. That's what we do. So what's he going to say? Ich, disgusting. Go live over there in Goshen. Well, that's exactly what we want. We want to live as Jews. We don't want to be bothered. So embrace the fact that you're a Jew. And naturally, the non-Jews will tell you, fine, you be over there, do your thing, and we're going to be over here. Yosef comes to Paro and tells him, my father, my brothers, their flock, their sheep, their cattle, they all came from the land of Canaan. They're resting in Goshen. And Yosef now presents to Paro five of his brothers. Which ones? The weakest ones. The weakest ones. To show the Pharaoh, you see, we're shepherds. We're not that strong. We're not warriors. We're weak. We have no use for you and all your physicality here in Egypt. And he asked them, what is your job? Like Yosef told him he was going to do. And they say, us and our forefathers, we're shepherds. And they ask from Paro to go settle in the land of Goshen. Because in the land of Canaan, in the land of Israel, there's a lot of famine and we can't live there anymore. Paro turns to Yosef and says to him, right now your brother and your brothers and your father have come down to you. The whole entire land of Egypt is yours. The best land in all of Egypt is Goshen. And even more so, let them go, let them have it, right? Not only that, I have flock, and your brothers know how to shepherd so well, I want them to take over my property as well. I need them to shepherd my stuff as well, they're so good at it. And now Yosef introduces Yaakov to Paro, and Yaakov blesses Paro with shalom, and he gives him a blessing that the Nile River will fill up with water, and that all of the famine will disappear from Egypt in the life of Paro. And since Yaakov looked very, very old, Paro asked him, how old are you? And Yaakov tells him, I'm 130 years, and don't be so taken back by the fact that I look so old. Why? Because in their times already, right, they were living much less than the previous generations. And Yaakov looks so old because he had a crazy life. He's been running around the world from gangster to gangster trying to stay safe. And he's been through a lot. His son was taken from him. His brother came after him. His father-in-law doesn't like him. His wife died. He's been through a lot. So he looks old. He has wrinkles. He looks much more elderly than people were used to seeing back then. And Yaakov separates now from Paro, separates and goes his way. Last Aliyah, seventh Aliyah, Yosef settles his brother and his brothers and his father in the best land in Goshen. Like Paro said, take the best land, best property, honor them. You've done a lot for Egypt, give back to your family. Paro signing off. Yosef takes care of their food, exactly like they need for all of their families. And now the Torah goes back to the first thing that it was talking about, which was the intense famine that was in the world. And the Torah says that there wasn't any bread at all in the whole entire land of Egypt. It got to a point where even in Egypt they didn't have money now. Right? Even in Egypt, the famine was really, really crunching down. And people were exhausted. Financial toil, all the hardships, all the fighting in the house, all the different things, it gets intense. The people of Egypt started to come to Yosef to buy bread. And that's how now Yosef started to gather back all the money that was in circulation in Egypt. It started to flow back into the government. And all of that money he brought to the house of Paro. All of the money that was inside Egypt started to run out. And they had now no more money to buy, meaning the people, the population, doesn't have money. They're all broke. So now they came in front of Yosef, and they asked for bread for free, before they die in hunger. Now it's already, government rations. No one has money to buy from the government food. And Yosef says to them, you lost money? Pay with your flock. Pay with your possessions. You don't have money, you don't have cash. Okay, where's your car? Where's your cow? Where's your extra property? Where's your slave? Pay up, you have what to pay with. And they started to bring to Yosef all of their horses, all of their flock, their cows, their donkeys. A whole entire year, the whole entire people of Egypt are paying with barter, with actual property. In the end of that year, they come in front of Yosef and they start to complain. We have nothing left to pay. That's it. No money, no possessions, nothing. The only thing we have left is the land that we live on and ourselves. So Yosef says to them, I will give you food if you give me your land. It's not him again. This is all going to Paro, right? It's all going to the Egyptian, to the house of Pharaoh, to the king. But we're willing to be, right? We'll give you the land, and we're also going to be slaves to the government. Look how crazy this is when a government has full control. Hard it is to think about it. The main thing, right? They don't want to die. They don't want to die from hunger. We'll give you our houses back. We'll give you our land back. We'll become slaves. And so Yosef does. He starts to buy back now all of the land for bread. He's trading property for bread. And so that now the people understand and remember that they don't have any portion in the land anymore that they're sitting on. So then Yosef starts to move people around. Right? People that live in the north are going to go to the south. People in the south are going to... You don't belong to this land. The land doesn't belong to you. This is Egyptian property, and so are you as well. Everybody starts getting moved around. Right? The people from the cities go to the villages. The people from the villages go to the cities. In order to take them away from that emotional attachment to that land. Another person did this, Lavdil Sancheriv, the evil, wicked king that was here in the Middle East, Sancheriv. And he was a ruler that anytime he would conquer a land, right, he would take those people and switch them with another nation that he conquered. So let's say he conquered Syria and Israel. You take the Israelis, put them in Syria, and take the Syrians and put them in Israel. Because it detaches you from your land, it messes you up, you're not used to it, now you have to go learn more, you become submissive to a power that's greater than you. So Yosef, for power, was doing the exact same thing. There's one land that Yosef didn't touch, that's all of the priests of Egypt, the Kmarim, the priests and the witches and the sorcerers, their land wasn't touched. Because they had a rule from Paro, that Paro has to sustain them. All of the witchcraft and all of the church, so to say, of Egypt was sustained from Pharaoh because they all saved Pharaoh from dying. So they were the only people that owned anything. You see, it's the exact opposite of the Jewish people. Our priests don't own anything. They live off of donations of the nation. And there, their priests owned everything, and the nation had nothing. Yosef calls to the people and says, since I bought all the land back from you for Paro, and you, I bought all of you for Paro, and now you're all slaves of Paro, so then now he has to provide for you. See? This whole entire way, it would be sound very selfish, right? What people in New York like to say, the Jewish landlord. And there's always this scheme, there's always this way. No. This is one of the principles of the Torah. A slave has to be provided for. A slave has to be taken care of. Even the people that try to say the Torah says it's okay to have slavery. Read the laws there and tell me if you would want to be a slave master according to the Torah. If you go travel with a slave and you get to a place and there's only one pillow, it's his. Only one meal, it's his. One bed, it's his. Everything goes first to that person. You want to be an owner of a human being? You are the slave. You are the slave. So here, Yosef is setting up a situation where it's forced welfare. You're all federal employees. I mean, you all have to receive a check from the government. And you all have to receive housing. And you don't have to pay for the housing. Therefore, take seeds and start to work. Start to plant seeds in the land. The land belongs to Pharaoh. But he needs to feed you. How's he going to feed you if you don't work? So now the cycle is working where the king is being sustained by the people and the people are being sustained by the king. כשהדד אמר, תיתן את פריאה, אזי אתם תיתנו 20% לפרו, והשאר יהיה לכם ובני ביתכם לפנסתכם. Now the field grows, your work comes to fruition, 20% back to the government, 80% you get to keep. House, wages, work, and taxes all paid for. Forced system, not easy, but it's also a period of famine. See the wisdom of Yosef, Yosef HaTzadik, that spent his whole entire life, he wasn't a shepherd like his brothers. He wasn't. He sat with Yaakov, learning Torah. He was a dreamer, he was a meditator, he was in Torah all day long. He was in a different world. Look at the mind of a person that puts it all into connecting to Hashem. Completely saved the whole entire world, saved the whole entire economy in Egypt, saving his family, everything's coming around. And he was the person that focused on Hashem all day long, not on this world. And he had the ability to rule this world as well. In the Maftir, the whole entire nation now comes and says, thank you to Yosef. They realize that they're all alive and they happily agreed to be slaves to Paro. Because if this is the system that's taking care of us and keeping us going, obviously we're going to play along. It's working. We're alive where we could have all died in famine. And after they understood that it was Yosef, then Yosef made a law, in Egypt, that anything that grows, any produce at all grown in Egypt, 20% of it goes to Pharaoh's house. It's a law. Except for, again, the land of all of the priests and the witchcrafts, right, that they stayed in their own hands. The brothers of Yosef, which are the children of Israel, Bnei Israel, they settled in the land of Goshen, and they built Betei Midrash, they learning centers, they built houses, storage houses, and made their farms and their vineyards, and they increased and grew and grew and grew. Jam-packed parasha, so much going on. Bezrat Hashem, God willing, we'll have some energy, and tonight we can go into the Midrash. Maybe do it live or something, come here and do it in person, we'll see. But a lot here. If we don't end up doing the Midrash, I highly recommend that everybody goes inside the Midrash and reads it. The most intense and beautiful story, filled with action, filled with emotion. Siyata Dishmaya, what can we take away from this? Many, many different things. Many different things. But Hashem has His plan in the world, and Hashem needs things to happen. And sometimes they happen in weird ways. But Yosef was wanting to stress to the brothers, don't get sad. Don't fight. Don't even talk about this. Don't even talk about it. It was all from Hashem. Lemechia shelachani, Hashem sent me lemechia for sustenance, so we will be able to live. Lemechia is the letters mechila. It's all forgiven. Nothing was wrong. This was all a divine process. We had to come down here to Egypt to stay alive. You guys had your part in it. I had my part in it, and it was really all done by Hashem. I have no grudge against you, so don't stay there. A lot of times we feel like we did something to someone. The person has moved on long time ago. They didn't even have a problem with us the second it happened. But us, in our head, out of our low self-esteem, we paint a picture. Oh, that person must be so upset at me. They're against me, or this, because I said this, because this happened. The person hasn't thought about it at all, beyond the 10 seconds of when it happened. You lost a friend, you lost a person you could connect to, you lost a person you could grow with, because you were so sure in your mind of something. Comes Yosef and tells the brothers, guys, and he's going to have to repeat it as well. After Yaakov dies, he has to do it again. They get scared for their life, then he's going to kill. The whole entire time, Yosef is just trying to tell them, guys, I have no problem with you. Calm down. Relax. Something also we need to learn in life, to not hold grudges, to not make up these stories in our mind of what happened. You don't know what happened according to that person's eyes and that person's situation. You have no idea. You can paint all the pictures in your mind. And then there's reality. Hashem runs the world. And if you're a person that's able to come back to the reality of Hashem runs the world, then everything passes. Anger passes. L'michia, it's l'michila. Mechila. Your sustenance, your forgiveness, it's all in one. It's all in one. Zat Hashem, Shabbat Shalom, u'mevorach. We take from this parasha the meeting of two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. They're coming together to unify. We'll have the revelation of Mashiach ben David with the Yud of Yosef inside. Dalet Vav Yud Dalet. David and Yosef unified together, that we do everything we need to do in our lives, and we show up, and we're responsible, and we keep halacha. We also have the dreams and the vision of Yosef to go deeper and to tap into all of the deepest secrets and the light of Hashem that's dwelling upon us. And may there be shefa and bracha for all of Am Yisrael and the whole entire world to come closer to knowing of Hashem. Shabbat Shalom.